What's the candy situation in New York? Do they just kill people for knocking on doors? Is that the way it works there?
No, you go to stores, and then the stores will give you candy.
Yeah.
So, like, there's, like, things on the windows, and it says, like, we are candy approved. And you're like, cool. And then you knock on the door, and they, like, give you candy. But then you go to, like, 7-Eleven, and it's like, don't wear masks inside.
Okay, how many?
So you wear a mask, and then you pull out a gun, and you're like, give me all your candy!
That was my favorite mission in Payday 2.
How many times has this situation unfolded for you, Plant and Frustic? Somebody wearing a costume knocks on your door. They say something that sounds like trick or treat, and so you you scoop into your candy bowl, and they hold out a bag, and you put the candy in the bag, and then as you are putting it in, you realize that it's not a child in a costume, but a bunch of rats that have stacked up on top of each other in the shape of a child.
You mean on Halloween or just in general?
Justin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I am a pile of rats in human form.
My name is Christopher Plant, and today is Halloween.
My name is Russ Boostick, and I know the best game of the week.
You could actually, this is a first for me, I could hear the self-doubt. I could hear like his niggling fears about his own depravity.
I don't know if you guys know this, but we're recording right next to each other today. And what was great is the boo was he was in it, but it was a shh where you actually that was actually the sigh coming out of his throat along with the rest of his essence.
This is the besties where we talk about the latest and greatest in opera, dance, sports, movies, TV, comic books. But today we're going to take a look at video games.
Interesting. I was wondering where we were going to land this time round.
This week it's video games. Who wants to start off with their video game product that they've been enjoying?
I'll start. You guys ready?
It seems like you always start, but go ahead.
Does it really seem like that?
Just go ahead. Don't worry about it.
I don't want to.
No, okay, the train's moving.
We're in it.
Train's moving.
Okay. So, my best thing of the week is the best controller upgrade of the week, the year, the last decade. I don't think I'm exaggerating here when I say the PS4 controller is such a colossally huge improvement over the PS3 controller. It cannot be understated. It is probably my favorite controller of all time of all video games. What? I said it. I went there. I came back again.
Yeah, it's a very good controller. Have we not talked about it? I feel like we've brought this.
I think we brought it at E3.
A special thing.
But we should,
oh, that's
we
right.
should note, I think there's a lot of people that may or may not know this, but even though we're here about 2 weeks out from the PlayStation 4 launch, you can actually just go to a store and buy a PS4 controller. Yeah. You might be asking, why would one do that?
To connect it to a PC immediately, because it's the new default PC.
Thank
controller.
You. I just wanted
to make sure that you knew.
Yeah, I was aware. So you can actually, thank you, Plant, connect it to a PC or even a Mac using some work. We actually just posted a video to show you how you can do these things and play video games using this awesome, kick-ass, my favorite controller. My level of hatred for the PS3 controller cannot be understated. Overstated. Cannot be overstated. It was fucking terrible. And just every aspect of the PS4 controller makes my life just like a treat. I've played first-person shooters on it. I've played platformers, fighting games, you name it. Every step of the way, it is so much better. I'm just going to name one thing that I love. On the PS3 controller, some crackhead had the idea that pressure-sensitive face buttons were a great idea.
Yeah.
Someone thought, oh, touch the circle button a tiny little bit, and you can have your character hug someone. Touch it slightly more than that, and you can have them murder that someone.
No one's ever done that.
How much?
Metal Gear did that.
How much of that functionality was designed specifically for Lair? And then Lair came out, and they're like, ah, fuck, what'd we do? What'd we do now? Lair 2? No. Who said Lair 2?
Fire him.
I am so happy to be rid of the PS3 as a device that is in my life. And the
I just got Beyond Two Souls in the mail. And, like, I can't get psyched. I can't get psyched to play because it means I gotta futz with the DualShock again for arguably the last time ever.
When the story went live and we started talking about the controller, there were a lot of people online saying that they like the PS3 controller the way it is and they didn't see the point in changing. For myself personally, I do have a console preference, and it's 360, and part of that is the online multiplayer community. More of my friends are on 360. That's fine. But the bigger thing, because I mainly play single-player games, is that I like the controller so much better. I mean, that doesn't seem to be so crazy a reason to choose one system over the other.
I think it's the biggest. I think other than console exclusives, and honestly, for me, the biggest thing is, where are my friends playing video games at? But yeah, I can't get excited about playing games on the DualShock 3, especially first person games. It's just those sticks just don't, they are not conducive to walking around with one and looking around with the other. It doesn't.
Yeah, and for a while I thought the reason the sticks were the problem was because they aren't offset. I thought that the fact that they were just right next to each other was why I was so uncomfortable.
It's not. It really isn't.
It's a few different things.
Round tops.
It's the round tops on the PS3 controller were awful. Your fingers would slide off of them. And it's also the distance between the two. So when you're holding the PS4 controller now, your thumbs have like a decent space between them. Whereas before, they were like all on top of them.
On top of each other, yeah. There was a lot of roundness to that controller that kind of sucked. I hated, I think, Resistance 3, which is a terrific game by any other standard. And really, any game that required you to use L2 and R2 for like the main aiming and shooting.
Yeah.
Those triggers being rounded, like, that is just not a very pleasant tactile experience.
Yeah, and that was something I think a lot of developers realized eventually, that like, oh, we can't use L2 and R2 as primary buttons.
But then when the alternative are L1 and R1, which don't really have that satisfactory pull.
Sure.
That triggers have. Like, I know I'm kind of saying a double standard there. And my problem with L2 and R2 wasn't the pull on them. It was that, I don't know, I always felt like I was touching them wrong.
I think this controller is really great and all. But what I'm most excited about is to see how the PC community makes its own drivers for it or just modifies it. Because that touchpad on it, that is what I want my Steam controller to be. Like, to have a controller that is as good as the Xbox 360 controller, but when I'm trying to use Steam Big Picture mode and something breaks and I need a mouse around my desktop just to hit some dumb OK button, how great is it going to be able to just use that little, you know, touchpad on top, clicky-clicky, and then get back to my game?
Well, that's what they want the Steam controller to do as well, but that's a whole other controller.
That's apples and oranges, man. That's two completely different impacts. Yeah,
apples and pears, even. It's that different.
Well, I would say apples and pears actually have way more similarities than an orange and an apple would have. They both have that stem on it, and you eat it like an apple. But an orange, you have to unwrap it, and then it's juicier, citrus. Can I finish?
Sorry.
Orange doesn't have a core, for one thing. And the color, of course, is quite different. It's orange, as its name implies, and apples are, for the most part, red. They can be green, though. See, when you take a green apple and a pear.
Okay, I'd like to talk about my favorite thing of the week.
The colors are almost the same. Go ahead, Justin.
Thanks so much. I hate to disrupt. I love to, but when things are this exciting. The thing I'd like to talk about this week is the best book of the week. I know what you're thinking. No, wait. It is called Device 6. You guys familiar with Device 6?
Simogo.
I'm familiar with watches. Wonder Book. Is this any relation to Wonder Book?
This is an iPad or iPhone, if you want to do iPhone. I think it would be better on iPad, though. Game where it is presented in the form of a book in 6 chapters. But the book has first off, it has branching pathways. There are lots of elements of interactivity. So you have there are different pathways you can go down and get more parts of the story.
Wait, I'm confused. There are, let's, okay. You've already confused me because you're talking about a book. I'm reading a book. Now, unless this book has, like, at the end of the page, do you want Dustin to jump into the cliff or get the key? I don't know what you mean by pathways.
Okay, well, the thing about text in this game is it's you are controlling the scrolling. And a lot of these branching pathways, it will basically be, instead of swiping down to continue reading, you'll see a line extending off the text. And if you swipe to the side, then you can actually control the path of the story that way. So the words themselves become sort of a pathway through the story. Sometimes you'll have to turn it, turn the iPad or iPhone to keep the story moving as text will scroll in different directions, etc.
What if you're a slow reader?
Well, it's at your own pace, so you're the one controlling the swiping, so you're
fine.
What
if you're a really fast reader, though?
You're controlling the pace, so you can swipe at any
speed.
What
if you read, like, just right, like the temperature's just
Well, you're
right.
controlling the pace, so you can just swipe.
I'm illiterate, and I've been illiterate my whole life, and I don't really have any plans to, like, not be illiterate.
Get Angry Birds.
I don't know how to find it in the store.
Look for a red bird. Integrates audio elements, so you'll be scrolling through a section of the story and you'll hear audio cues to that complement what you're reading. But there are also interactive puzzles throughout the game that you have to solve using clues from what you've read, but also things you've unearthed in different images and stuff like that.
Reading comprehension tests, like in the SATs.
No, the puzzles are usually pretty well hidden in images, and are the sort of things that require a lot of lateral thinking and exploring through the book and experimentation. I currently have a notepad, four or five legal pages full of notes and scribbles and drawings and designs for different. Puzzles or information that didn't become relevant or did become relevant as I was playing through with Sydney, my wife, and she's great at the puzzles. I'm not so great.
How do
with
you
those.
Play a reading game with another person?
We both read a page, and then she looks at me and waits a couple minutes as I finish reading it.
Yeah, she's like wicked way smarter than you are.
Yeah, like way, 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 way smarter. But it's super, the storytelling is really well done. It's got a great ending. It really is one of those.
What is the ending?
There's sort of a metafiction with you where your iPad actually figures into, or your iPhone, if that's the case, actually figures into the story, and it's similar thematically, I would say, to like Stanley Parable, for example, but a very cool aesthetic, kind of a 60s mod feel to it. But it is really, really, really interesting and a great reminder of just when games seem like everything has been mined, you play something that like, oh, wow, there are so many different things we could be doing with interactive media.
Are there people that actually think that in this day and age? In this fucking year of all years?
I know. They have no
ideas are out, anymore. Guys. We ran out of ideas. Looks like nobody's doing anything.
Well, I mean, anything you look at new. Battlefield 8
oh,
and
don't
Assassin's
be that.
Creed well, 70, I mean.
But I will say this, like, looking through the App Store, as someone that looks at the App Store every week...
Oh, it's bad,
it's
man.
It's pretty damn depressing on the whole. And these special games, these games are on the level of, like, you know, this developer definitely does a bunch of them. You know, the Super Hexagons of the world maybe come around once every 2 months or so. And then the
that
rest
seems
of it is,
awfully,
like, soul-crushing garbage. What?
That seems awfully conservative, I
In
think.
Terms
no.
of,
I mean, that's pretty dead on. I'd say that they're pretty few and far between this year.
Yeah,
it's really, really it's a great story, and it's told really interesting, and the puzzles in it are actually really smart and require you to put your thinking cap on, as they say. There was at one point I was trying to solve a puzzle by downloading an app that let me reverse speech so I could try to find additional clues in what sounded like a reversed speech.
And then in reverse it said, to win the game, you must kill John Romero.
Yeah, I did not see that coming. But okay, Device 6 is what it's called, and everybody should go get it. I think it's like $3.
Can I pin a recommendation onto the tail of that?
I'm going to do one too.
If you like that, you should also download Year Walk, which is by the same studio. Yep. And it's
Smogo, right?
It's like perfect right now, Smogo. Very Halloween-ish.
Yeah. I would like to also pin on there Paint It Back. It's by Casual Labs, and it's Picross. It's just Picross, and you can play it, and it's Picross, cool. And it's on your iPad.
Also, Battlefield 4.
Battlefield 4, it's a new
like
game.
It's like shooting the segue.
Was that a segue?
Yeah.
Well, we got to go to halftime first. We'll get there, but first let's go to halftime.
All right.
Whoa.
Oh, God, no.
All right, let's just go ahead and skip over halftime and let's just go straight.
Bestie.
Wow, I actually do feel genuine terror right now.
Yeah, me too.
And for not the
reason. Milton Bradley.
Oh, no. God, Milton Bradley, no. The spectral inventor of such hits as Candyland?
My favorite ghost bigot.
Hello, besties. Hi, yes, I have made many board games over the years, showing the world as it should be, with small white children everywhere. Besties, how are you on this
I'm not
fine
great.
Halloween?
Not good.
I was good, like, before your phantasmal cameo.
You're a, sir, what games do you have for us in this Halloween season?
Well, I wanted to show one new game that I've been working on that you might find spooky. Here's the idea. Two players. This is a board game, by the way. I don't know if you're familiar with
Milton,
my...
Yeah, I think we knew that was your fucking MO.
My milieu, my
games.
Genre is
just so
board
everyone knows,
games.
Right now, something appears to have taken over Russ's body.
Okay, I was going to ask, you're in the room.
Yeah. Immediately, his eyes rolled into the back of his head, and he pulled out of his bag this really dusty board game with just... hate and racial slurs scrawled all over it.
Well, I wouldn't say slurs per se. Perhaps
what would you call
them? Honest truths.
Okay. I mean that.
Anyway,
in
I've been worried.
Absurd.
He's by the way, Ross is fine. He'll be ready to go in a couple weeks.
You're like in his body, so like you can. There's no CAT scan required. You're like in there.
Well, maybe.
You're not like doing shit in his brain right now, are you?
We'll see. Gentlemen. Gentlemen, I wanted to tell you about this game I've been working on. Here's the idea. Two players sit across from each other. There is a board, and the objective is simple. One player... as you can.
There's no way I'm leaving this in the show.
Are you with me?
0% chance that this is staying in the show. There's a negative 25% chance I'm keeping this in the show.
Perhaps I should tell you the title of my game.
I mean, you can. It's not staying in the show, but yeah, you can tell us the name
unless
of it.
Unless someone interrupts me very quickly.
No, tell us the name.
Do you have another game that I can leave in the show? When you were scripting this, did you think that this would be an appropriate thing to leave in the show?
Griffin, leave this. Okay, leave this bit in the show, but just instead of his game, just put in like 10 seconds of static and let people try to wonder what it was that he said and let people build an obsessive cult around it.
Okay.
So, Griffin, what
I don't trust those Malaysian people.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Stop Griffin.
It wasn't about Malaysia. Okay.
Hey, guys.
He's gone.
Griffin, what have you been playing this week?
my game that I'm bringing this week, or my best that I'm bringing this week, is Best Sale, or perhaps Most Improved Sale. And that award goes to The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker HD. I know it's a bit aged.
It's on sale?
It's no, it has a sail in it, like a boat. Like a boat.
Homonym.
Oh, okay.
It is an old game, because it came out in 2003. But this is the new one that came out in September, so it's still pretty old. But yeah, I mean, you pretty much know what you're getting into. There's this weird, all of the improvements, I would say, like the best improvements of it are mechanical, because that was a very, that game did not really respect the amount of time that the user put into it, sort of like all modern Zelda games. But Wind Waker was especially egregious, especially once you get to some of the later stuff, like the Triforce quest, which required you to go to these 8 different points across the world to collect these 8 different charts that would tell you where to dig up these 8 different treasures that you had to get before.
That's like 64 different things.
It was miserable. It's still not great, but they have sped up that process a lot. They've also
Did you beat the game already?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it came out a while ago. It's been out like a month and a half.
It's a long game.
The reason I like it is because it has an off-screen mode. It has a gamepad mode. So I play it like while Rachel and I were watching the World Series or while we were watching Biggest Loser. Like, I'll just crack that bad boy out and play it until the battery dies.
She didn't get angry at you for that? Didn't she want you to spend time with her?
I mean, we were spending time together. I can multitask.
I mean, you can try run that scam for a while. Wait till you're married.
Yeah, it does not work.
That does not work. It's a great fiction.
You gotta care about Survivor as much as she cares about Survivor.
First off, nobody cares more about Survivor than I do.
We should have talked about this at halftime.
We should have.
Season, oh
we
my
should
gosh.
Have talked about anything else at halftime.
The game has changed.
The game done did change. Wait till blood mixes with water. What are you gonna get?
Let's worry about Vetus.
I'm worried about Vetus too. Guys, hold on. We got to get back to the thing I was talking about, though. I'd say the biggest thing about it is this sale. There's this new goddamn sale. It's actually kind of hard to find. This sale fixes two problems with the sort of boat mechanic of Wind Waker HD or Wind Waker in general. And that is, A, your boat's super goddamn slow, and you have to use it constantly. And B, whenever you want to turn 90 degrees, you have to pull out your magic baton and play a song to change the direction of the wind. It was really shitty. It was really,
but that's
really
more convenient than real sailing, where you have to actually wait for the wind to change.
That's a good point, Russ. I hadn't thought about it like that. But yes, I guess it is. It is, a bit faster process than just waiting. No, I mean, there's jibs and shit, right? There's jibs that you have to fly.
Tack.
You can, yeah, right. There's lots of things you can do.
Are these sailing words?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God, I thought you knew about it. I guess you're not as moneyed as Russ and I are.
That's true. Cross hitches.
This new sail, it has the wind behind you constantly, no matter which direction you're facing, so you're going to have to play that fucking song every 30 seconds. And it's also, like, way faster.
That seems like, I don't know, that you essentially, it's a motorboat then, right?
It is kind of a motorboat. Since Majora's Mask, I feel like there has been a desire to make these games longer than they can support. I made the point in I was still a joystick at the time, but when I reviewed Skyward Sword, it's a fucking terrific game that was literally like 15 hours longer than it should have been. Because they make you go back to all the places you've already been. There's one dungeon that you literally have to run through again, like a second time straight forward, and there's like not that many things changed your second time around. It's just like they want to make these games as long as possible instead of like the 20 or 25 hour long really great games that they should be.
Yeah.
And there's still a bit of that. But it looks good. It's
Yeah, what do you think about the art style changes? I kind of miss the old, more cartoony art style.
It's just, I mean, it is still that, exactly. It's exactly that still.
They've
enhanced
it. Like the water,
it.
For example, like, used to be like this clear blue block. And it was like, you know?
No, I think it looks, it's weird because I've always cared more about the art style of a game than the, like, graphical fidelity of that game. And, like, I think the art style of the original Wind Waker was perfect, and it's still perfect. They've just, like, slopped some HD sauce up on it. It's weird. Like, yeah, it looks fine, but it's hard to, like, give the game many points in that department because the game that came out literally a decade ago still looks fantastic, and there are not that many games from a decade ago that you can say that about.
Bubsy 3D.
Bubsy 3D is probably chief among them, yes.
Yeah. Well, good one.
Hey, thanks. Let's talk about Battlefield.
So, guys, did you play Battlefield 3?
Yes, it was terrible.
Yeah. So that single player, I think, is like the worst single player that has ever been put in a
video game. Really, really, really bad.
It's criminally bad, because what they did is they said, what is great about Battlefield? It's the open areas and all the cool freedom you can have with the vehicles. So let's put you in a really long corridor for about 4 hours. So what they did with Battlefield 4, I don't know if you've heard about this. They brought the human soul. They took it out of a body somewhere in Sweden, and they injected it into video game code, and that is the Battlefield 4 campaign. Now here's
what
that,
fuck did you just say?
That, no, there's soul, there's humanity in this game. And what that looks like is some okay single player missions where you're in a shooter, right? And you're shooting people in the face. You shoot like 100 people in the face. And you'll be walking down the street like it's a normal first person shooter campaign, and then you'll just see two people hugging.
Oh.
For no reason. And they'll look at you and be like, "Sir, we're hugging. Help us!" And you'll be like, "I want to. I want to help you.
Why are they upset? Are they stuck?
and they can't open the door." And so then you open the door, because that is a big part of what you do in Battlefield.
Oh, wait. Let's pause for a second. Why are they hugging? What door? Why can't they open the door?
These are all great questions that go unanswered, like Lost. It's a mystery.
Okay.
So then you go in the door, and then there's like more people there, and they're like, "Sir, help us." And then you realize, "I'm in a bookstore." And all the people are like, "I don't think we're prepared to help these people." And this is after you've killed at least 400 people, including breaking into a skyscraper and fighting, I think, your fourth helicopter hand-to-hand.
Oh, my God.
How does that work?
So,
in every mission in Battlefield, remember the helicopter rule with The Bachelor? Remember that season when The Bachelor had a helicopter every episode?
I think you mean every season, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So, basically, that's what they did with Battlefield. They were like, you know, this mission isn't working. Let's put another helicopter in it. So you have to shoot helicopters constantly. And at the beginning of the game, that just means like shooting one weapon at it, and then it kills a helicopter. But throughout the game, the power of the helicopter just changes a lot. Like, sometimes it can take a lot of damage, sometimes it can't. This is beyond
the point.
If it's
a mini-boss helicopter, or if you need to collect the big key before you can fight the final helicopter.
The ultracopter, who actually turns into a tank.
Okay.
So you meet these people, and you don't really want to help them, but then you do. And throughout the whole game, there are just these weird scenes where, like, you come across normal people who are either dying or, like, are just left to die, but they're frozen in place just to be really sad. You, like, to walk past and be like, "Well, that's really sad. Okay, I'm going to shoot more people."
Okay, so let's go back a little bit, because you were talking about the bookstore.
Got it.
And when you described it, you said it was full of people. So is this game set in, like, 1995?
No, it's set in a nation where people still read books.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fantasy world.
Not the nation.
They're all by Tom Clancy.
The story is so amazingly bad. I don't know what happened.
What about all the drama? Because there was that scene they showed off in E3 where the four people are in the water, they're in a car, and it's sinking in the water. So, he's like, shoot me in the face. You got to, or else you'll die.
When you saw that scene, well, let me guess, you were thinking, wow, this must be a pretty interesting scene, like halfway through the game, right?
A lot
where
of
we
drama.
Know why these people are here.
Yeah.
That is the first scene of the game.
Yeah, establishing
that,
shot.
The game starts there.
With that music?
Yes.
Oh.
It starts on that game, on that scene. Oh yeah. Also, every time they need for you to like the characters, they have a new song that they all listen to together.
In the middle
of like you'll have killed like 400 people. You'll get in an elevator, and then like a song will come on, and I'm like, oh, here's a bonding moment.
Also known as Saints Row.
Also, that guy dies early at the beginning of the
game. Dude, spoilers.
No, this is in the trailer. This stupid character dies at the beginning of the game, and then the rest of the game, they keep being like, hey, did you call that guy's wife? Because like somebody should totally let her know that he's dead. And it's like, yeah, that's his job. You know, when he's not out saving the world, he has to call out every soldier's wife.
Do you think they have like an HR department that takes care of this stuff?
They need to delegate. This is what it sounds
like. Oh, I thought you meant at DICE.
Why do they have single player campaigns in these things that aren't Bad Company? That's my question. Why don't they just put the craziest thing to me.
Here's the thing about why Bad Company is so good, and what I figured out from Battlefield is. Okay. Battlefield multiplayer is one of the greatest video game comedies of all time because they create this hyper-realistic world, and that's like the straight setup, right? And then what you can do in it is just absolutely batshit stupid, and that's what's so funny about it is watching these people do these things that should not be happening with things that are taking themselves incredibly seriously.
But then you hop
in that campaign, and it's just so serious.
I have a theory that next year could possibly see the complete phasing out of a single-player campaign from either Call of Duty or Battlefield. Because on Call of Duty's side, you are seeing it. The Xbox 360 version of that game has a mandatory, I think, either 3 or 4 gigabyte install specifically for the single-player content. And on Dan Emmerich's blog, the Activision blog, he said, like, if you just want to do multiplayer, don't worry about installing this thing. Just fuck it. Just play multiplayer. You don't have to worry about installing the single player campaign. I think it's not unreasonable to think that they are going to just phase that shit out eventually. Because I think it does help sort of provide that third pillar for Call of Duty. We have the single player campaign. We have the competitive multiplayer. And then we have, you know, some weird co-op horde mode like zombies or this new extinction mode. But I don't think that, like, I don't think people are that hot into the campaign shit. I think
it's just going to be bad. Like, if they don't know how to make one and it's not good, like, just stop already.
The problem is, it's just a misunderstanding of what the genre is. Like, it's not Saving Private Ryan. You're killing hundreds of people. You can't take it seriously. If you take it seriously, it will make you not enjoy it.
It's my problem with most shooter campaigns. And I'm talking specifically about the military shit here, because, like, this obviously doesn't apply to, like, a Bioshock or something like that. But it can't just be a set-piece-driven, AI-controlled multiplayer shoot-fest. Like, for me, the best single-player campaign in not counting the Bad Company games, like the core Battlefield or Call of Duty, was Modern Warfare, because it had all that dope shit. It had that whole ghillie suit level. It had like all those that sequence of sniper missions that you had to.
Yeah,
like
it had characters you actually cared about, which mattered.
I don't know about that.
I did
at the time. They were okay.
Captain
it had Soap,
Price,
Soap McTavish.
Hey, you remember their name? How many characters do you remember the name of?
But in my defense, that's because his name is fucking Soap McTavish.
I think one of the reasons people like that, and one of the reasons people like the Black Ops story, the first Black Ops story, is because they like put a little legwork in and made a story that wasn't just the dumbest fucking blockbuster bullshit you could think of.
I don't remember fuck all from like any of the past Call of Duty.
You meet
games.
JFK in Black Ops. You meet JFK. You're like friends with him.
Besties.
Yeah. So that's honestly, and why Bad Company 2 campaign works, the Bad Company 1 campaign was kind of crappy, but the second one worked, is because you had, like, people were goofing around. It was like four kings?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like four kings. It was like the sequel to Three Kings.
I think there was five kings, actually.
Five kings? Five kings.
Spike Jones and then the Ice Cube.
I think it was five guys.
So what wins? Not the listener. What else? What are the other possibilities?
PS4 controller.
No, the book thing. Device 6.
The book. I still can't wrap my head around the book thing.
It's great. You should download it.
Okay, I'm downloading it.
How much was the price tag on that bad boy?
$299, I think.
Oof.
Which one?
Device 6, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that was good. Get it.
More like
buy right now.
More like too much money.
Well, that's interesting.
I was just saying, $99 a freemium. Please. 99 cents of freemium. Free 99 would be a way better price.
That's going to do it for us, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Besties. We're here every Friday, unless I can manage to get the show canceled, and God knows I'm trying.
Don't forget about me.
I will never will. And store stuff on polygon.com, and be sure to join us again next Friday for the Besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends play the world's best, you know.
Besties!